Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. The situation is all the infrastructure that they moved from the U.S. they put over here, and it's for every one job that left the U.S. I think they probably created 10 to 20 jobs here, and everybody's making cash, and cash is just pumping through this place, and everybody in the U.S. is it feels like a balloon slowly deflating. It's an odd situation. When I left, it wasn't like that when I was there last. In 2005, I thought I'd go there for a year, and then I found out how much, what a bizarre difference it is from being in the U.S. and how over here I don't see the U.S. propaganda, advertising, TV, that stuff. So totally it allowed me so much. Yeah, so I feel bad for folks. I'm not pitying you guys. I'm saying in general, I feel bad for most folks in the U.S. because the programming is so much stronger around them, and you guys speak English, so you're picking it up. Over here, I don't read Chinese, and I don't really see any that much propaganda stuff or programming. So I can just think. So that's why I said, like, if everybody could take a vacation over here, I think it would clear people's heads up so much that they'd be able to, lead their lives better, be happier, see through the bullshit.
I'm gonna let you guys talk for a minute. I have to run my dog out. I'm sorry about that. So we can't take any calls while I'm out, guys. I'll be back in 5 minutes. You guys just talk, okay?
Yeah, cool. Yeah, I was gonna say it's interesting you said that China compared to the U.S. You almost wouldn't notice a difference in photos, but we all have this image in our mind of like a totally dilapidated place. Like, but it's the same for a lot of countries, like Iran and places like that. The media paints this image in your mind, but you go and look at photos, and it's maybe even more looks better.
Yeah, Iran's beautiful from what I've seen.
Yeah, totally.
And what you're saying also just goes to prove that basically, people are good everywhere.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think everybody for the most part wants, their family to survive and thrive and wants to do well. And that's the thing is when we talk about terrorists and all this, for the most part, these people are that way because not because of a mental flaw, but because they've been taught that way, and it's. When we look at different societies, we see that, although different people are different, I'm not going to say everybody is the same, but underneath it all, I don't care who you are, black, Jewish, Chinese, American, whatever, you want the best for you and yours. And you know what I mean? That's the disconnect that the elite have over us where they don't care about, they only care about themselves.
I used to think we could be heading for a Mad Max sort of scenario, but now I think that if society broke down in that way, there might be some roving gangs, violent gangs here and there, but I think really people would just pull together. I don't think it would be a dog eat dog world. I think people would pull together and help each other.
I think so too. If there wasn't a division, and that's what I'm wondering, because, right now, for example, all this shit going on in Ferguson and the Trayvon, all this stuff that obviously we all know it's divide and conquer. It's to keep poor blacks and poor whites and middle class from joining up and realizing that we all have the same oppressors. And the same thing with which is going on with the Hispanics, and I'm sure up there, I've even heard of what's going on up there with the First Nation in Canada, and with the French and with the English speaking Canadians. So I mean, that's how they rule, is divide and conquer. And if we could ever get it through people's minds that that we're not the enemy, that the controllers are, and they're minions. The soldiers and police, if we could ever wake them up, I think we'd have half a shot at it. And I think, like you said, if in a catastrophe, we see people come together.
I think that is sort of happening. And I talked to Brian about this afternoon. Do you guys know anything? Are you familiar with Jeffrey Grupp's theory of the New World Order wants the New World Order to fail?
No. If you break that down for us, it'd be awesome.
Well, basically, what it is that, you know, it's like the new, what we call the New World Order, is sort of, let's divide it into two sections. The very, very top section of the, you know, the 13 families or whatever it is, the real top of the pyramid. And then the rest of the New World Order, the banking system, the money system, the, you know, big business, all that kind of shit, the think tanks and right. and so on. And so what this idea is that the guys at the very top, you know, and they play games in a way. And so, well, I don't know, there's a couple of different things. Let me try to make this as simple as possible. So what the top guys want is for us to rebel against the bottom guys.
Right, right.
So in other words, to bring in the new world order, they want to destroy the old world order. And to do that, they want to sow dissent among the populace with all the institutions that we've learned to trust. And we truthers are just the sort of the point of the spear, so to speak. But you know, and so what's the evidence for this? Well,
yeah,
Alex Jones appearing on The View and with right. Piers Morgan yep. and Geraldo, going, well, you know, maybe we need to look at this Building 7 thing and,
right.
you know, and the engineer guys, putting up their billboards and all this kind of stuff. So, you know, all this conspiracy theory shit is slowly but surely becoming more and more mainstream.
I'll continue.
Just to continue, you know, what I was saying to Brian this afternoon too. It seems to me that all these false flag events have become more and more obvious.
Yeah.
As time goes on, like I've been revisiting the Boston bombing. The last couple of weeks, and I mean, it's just so blatantly obvious that it was all fake. Even though still some people don't get it, some people think the bombs were real, some people think the first bomb was a fake and the second one was real, and so on. So even in the truth movement, we can't agree on what exactly happened yet, but nevertheless, it's still, any way you slice it, it just makes it so obvious. Well, I really think that's the plan, and that's why they put in the conspiracy candy, not just to fuck us truthers up with at fighting each other about this theory and that theory, but they also do it to make the whole thing more visible to more and more people so that, you know, one day enough people will wake up enough people. But the question in my mind is, will they wake up the right way?
That's the thing.
You know, in other words, this is a big problem reaction solution situation. The solution being the New World Order, which, you know, they'll make sound great after all the chaos. And you know, even the truthers, if you want to call them that, however big that group is at the time, even if it's a majority, may just get sucked into that.
Yeah. Justin, you had a point you want to make?
Yeah, no, I want to add on to what John said, and I totally agree with it, and it makes sense, too, because, you know, if you look at it, they're totally, they're not really throwing the cops under the bus, but, you know, like the cops and any other authority figures. You know, we're seeing shootings happen, you know, at least twice
every
a day in America, whether and not only are they shooting people, but they're shooting people's dogs.
Also killing everybody.
Reason.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if some of those cop videos aren't fake too, the violent cop videos.
Oh, sure.
I wouldn't put it past them but I think that's like you said, I think that I said this before too. They want a revolution, but they want a controlled revolution.
Right.
And like you said, we're the tip of the spear, and that's why I kind of have like hopped off a lot of this stuff for a while, because I kind of seen that, and I seen so many people waking up, but they're waking up to a certain point, and you know, and they're not going to be able to see through it all, you know, when the smoke clears. And I think it's almost like a Ukraine situation where you have, you know, the bankers running one side, or the, you know, say the EU type people running one side, and you have Russia running the other side. But in reality, if they're all really run by the same people, because I mean, you have bankers behind, you know, I think it's Abramovich behind Putin, and another banker behind the other side, and they're masquerading as neo-Nazis. Well, they think they're having a revolution, but in reality, they're just, you know, part of the problem, reaction, solution itself. So I think that's, you know, to have a real revolution and cut the head off the snake, I don't think will ever happen. You know, we may put a few daggers in the arms and the legs, but the beast is still going to be alive and stronger than ever, and people are going to think that we did something, when in reality,
once they get the revolution they want and they can control it. That gives them permission to roll out whatever they want, basically.
I think we all agree that an adversarial approach is totally wrong.
You know,
we're never gonna defeat or get rid of the New World Order by fighting them in any way.
No, the only way I think is if everybody just told them to fuck off and stayed home. You know, that's
exactly
the
exactly. And so here's the challenge, I think, in you know, for you know, I don't want to sound conceited or whatever, but I think, you know, for guys like us that have sort of waded through a lot of the bullshit, not that we necessarily know the real truth yet or whatever, but we're probably somewhat closer than, you know, the bulk of the truthers, the Alex Jones followers and all of that. And so you know, there's a guy, Pablo Novi, that's just joined up with Steve Dack. You know who Steve Dack is?
He knows Yankee. He knows him as Yankee, yeah. He knows
Steve. Oh, okay, yes.
Yeah. And anyway, he's sort of, from what I gathered, he was on the Jim Fetzer show the other day, and from what I gathered, his mandate is to try and bring about unity within the truth movement, presumably so that the truth movement can present to some kind of united front and thereby wake up more of the public.
Well, I'll tell you why this will never happen, and it's because we're already split into so many factions. And yeah. I'm not even just talking about just the truther stuff, because right away, if everybody, let's say, that woke up, well, you know, the same time, let's say anywhere from 2000, you know, from 9/11 till a few years ago, and has been at this for a few years. Now a lot of those people have just become disenfranchised totally, and have become so-called anarcho-capitalists, you know, whatever the case may be. And then we have the other types that are still buying into the system and still think we could change it. And then we have the types like us, you know, I mean, so never mind the regular truther camps of, you know, lie hop, me hop, fucking, you know, Judy Wood to video fakery to, you know what I mean, to Fetzer, many new, you know, there's so many theories and so many different groups, and people will just not, you know, yeah. You'll see someone, we may agree on 98% of the topics, but if that one thing is that divisive, then it's going to stop me and you from working together, and that's the problem.
Well, me and John talked about this earlier, because we, you know, obviously we mentioned what you're mentioning, that, you know, the different camps aren't going to work together. That's the biggest obstacle. And the only thing is, it's like, okay, well, I suggested to him, well, what if we could, you know, present, you know, to the non-truthers, present to them just debunking parts of the official story. But then to do that, John brought up a good point. You have to go into detail, because they're going to want mm-hmm. detail. Then once you get into that detail, now we have to drift off right. into our various theories that we don't agree on. It's right. impossible.
It is. You know, the only – I think the idea is still worth pursuing.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm pretty skeptical, as you are, Justin, for the same reasons.
I have a quick thing. What if we leave 9/11 out of it? Would we have a better shot?
Well, that's where I was getting to, because having revisited the Boston bombing recently, and there's several points which I think recommend it as the new 9/11 to use to wake people up. And that is that, A, the evidence is really, there's some undebunkable evidence. And that's the other thing with all these false flags and everything else. If we could somehow gather together the key pieces of undebunkable, or as undebunkable as possible, I don't know if anything is 100% undebunkable, somebody will always try to, you know, find a reason against it.
Well, just
getting back to the Boston bombing, let me just finish my thought here.
That's pretty undebunkable.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of pieces of evidence that are really undebunkable. So, I think if you can get people to look at it, it'll be easier to convince them that it's a false flag and, you know, sort of let the penny drop for them and go, holy shit, our government can fool us to this level. You know, we can be deceived to this level. And then they'll get into 9/11 and the other stuff. The other thing is sort of a subtopic of the Boston bombing. 2 points. One, for me anyways, it lent a lot of credence to the idea that none of these false flags involved any deaths or injuries. Going back, you know, to Oklahoma City, even. Right now, you know, that probably needs to be investigated more, but that's kind of what I'm thinking and you know, why they made it so obvious in the Boston bombing. Simon Schack started that idea.
The other thing
the Boston bombing sort of puts to rest is once you accept that it was a false flag, you can see that hundreds of people had to be involved and nobody squealed.
So
Justin, what do you want to say? Justin's been trying to get a point.
Sorry, okay.
It's fine. I was just saying that like you're saying, there's many undebunkable things. What was the last point you were on, real quick?
That once you accept the Boston bombing was a false flag and you realize that hundreds of people were involved in it,
right?
Then that argument, you know, falls apart. How come nobody got a conscience and spilled the beans, or got paid by, you know, whoever to spill the beans?
It's still going to be tough, though, because, I mean, there's still a lot of people that don't want to, you know, I mean, you know, Chris, my best friend was still touting that Boston Strong stuff for, you know,
the
for a long
attachment.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, and especially if you're you know, just like a sports fan that doesn't look into this, and that's what we're dealing with here. Is, I mean, you know, like, you know, I have some very dear friends, but they won't even skim the surface of this stuff because they just think it's Looneyville. And although I've broken down some of the stuff for them, there's certain topics they won't touch. You know, and it comes down to the, you know, the confirmation bias and, you know, and just cognitive dissonance. And I don't know how to go any further on, you know, and it's just like the moon landing and whatnot, and where it's like people just want to believe, so they're, you know, even though they may be very open minded, they just, you know, they can't accept that the skeptics were right the whole time, you know.
Well, absolutely, you're right. There's, you know, there's A, trying to get people to look at the evidence, and B, if they do look at the evidence, you know, trying to get them not to just sort of brush it off and really take a look. And those are pretty almost insurmountable problems in a you know, general statistical sense, because as we all know, it's very, very hard to wake anybody up to any level. But I still think that, you know, like 9/11 is a huge and complex event, whereas the Boston bombing is a lot simpler and smaller and less significant. So I just think that it might be easier to you know, put a dent in people with that one than 9/11.
I think another thing about Boston too is even without even pointing out that nobody died and that the bombings were fake, just the fact that those two were patsies, and just the fact that, you know, that it shows that the Muslim terrorism meme is really just a construct. You know, it may become real eventually, you know, the more and more of these, you know, I'm talking 20 years from now, but right now I'm not scared of Muslim terrorists. You know, maybe if they keep this going, but I honestly believe, and it was evident in that, you know, the Sarnaev case, that there's FBI informants in every single mosque in America. And so, I mean, I think that's something that would be very easy to show people. you know, I still think it's we still have a hard time breaking through to people. But I mean, you know, because a lot of people just want to, you know, they have, you know, the Fox News types that just want to believe that that's the enemy and that everybody else is, you know, I don't know. I don't know exactly, you know, how to do it. The only way I think the best chance to do it is once we get a say 2016, we get a Republican president in there. Let's just say the America's still standing as it is now for the most part. Let's just say we lose a few more perceived rights after this whole Ebola fiasco. Well, when this Republican president gets in and then still continues to shit all over everything, then maybe then we'll, some of them will have enough and realize that there's no, you know, way that that's a solution for them. I don't know, but I know a lot of people that still think, oh, well, the Republican Party may be crooked, but they're still for, you know, guns and limited government and all. You know what I mean? It's
people that talk about the party politics drive me absolutely batshit crazy.
Me too.
Well, Justin, what's your opinion on the patsies? Do you think they're real people that are patsies? Are they actors, or did they never exist?
I'm, you know, in Boston, I'm pretty torn on that. You know, I can't say 100% on it. I have looked pretty deep into it, but it seems that at least the older, it seems that they existed anyway. Maybe are they really dead?
I saw photographs of them with people from my city.
Right, that's what I was alluding to, because the kid was a boxer. He was well known around town and stuff.
He was a real person.
The younger brother also too. I know a lot of people that you know, when it first happened, I was in a group that was, you know, and people actually knew him supposedly. And I mean, obviously anybody on the internet could say they know somebody. But like Brian,
the whole thing with the video with the transitions, Justin, you remember that would lend credence to the Patsy idea.
Right. You know, but I mean, so I mean, here's the thing is, I think that they existed, but you know, are they probably now living, you know, with their Chechenian parents and club fed somewhere, you know, eating steak and lobster right now? That's a very big possibility. Instead of being in jail and being dead, that's a very big possibility.
The interviews with the mother and the father and especially the mother and the aunt really looked fake to me. They looked like they were acting.
Yeah, so that's a very big possibility. I'll say that my opinion is that they're in club fed somewhere with the rest of these victims from all these other things somewhere, you know, cooling their heels and probably laughing at the rest of us.
And I think they were actors, and I think they left them mistakes like the transition thing being obvious to leave breadcrumbs for people to think that they really were patsies in a real false flag and not in a hoax event. I think they were actors too, John. And I think they made these mistakes but on purpose, just like with the 9/11 mistakes in the videos.
The last point I think that got cut out on me is I was just talking about, you know, these, if this club fed type scenario exists. You know, imagine if somebody went to a place like, say, Cuba or North Korea, one of these, you know, so-called untouchable places for Westerners, and saw, you know, Peter Lanza and, you know, and all these other so-called victims from these, you know, hoaxes and whatnot. It'd be pretty interesting to see. I don't think you probably wouldn't make it back, but, you know, imagine that, though, if North Korea actually has a community where it's some type of utopia and all these people are living in it, you know, or Cuba. Anything is, you know, I may be reaching
that
with that
insane.
One. But, you know, think about it. Think about all the deaths that have been faked, too. Like, for example, celebrities like Paul Walker. I mean, that definitely looks fake to me. You know, Tupac.
Yeah.
You know, Tupac's uncle supposedly was in Cuba. So, you know, why wouldn't that be a place where he would go? I don't know. I'm spitballing on this one, but it makes sense why these places would be so demonized, and then all of a sudden they drop out of the news and we don't hear from them. And of course, Cuba, we have a freaking military base there, but yet we don't even do trade with them. You know, how does that make sense?
Who are you talking about?
I was just talking about like if all of like the victims from these.
Yeah,
places.
No, I understand. No, who don't we trade with?
Cuba. We've had the embargo. I do believe that some of it has been lifted, but for the most part, you know, you yeah. still can't get a Cuban cigar. I mean,
it's also about we don't control their money, just like those other countries like Syria, North Korea, and Afghanistan, Iraq. Remember the list? They were on that list of seven countries that we didn't have the centralized bank controlling their money before 9/11, and we wiped out like four or five of them, but they're still on it.
Right. You know, a lot of that, too, I mean, it makes me wonder about that as far as that goes. Maybe they are controlled, or maybe it's just they're allowed to not be controlled. Because I mean, you know, think about that too. As far as Iran, we've heard the saber rattling from Israel for years about Iran, but still, you know, still haven't attacked them. But yet they've attacked all these other countries. You know, so I mean, I don't know what the case is as far as how much the elite actually do run and how much. You know, if there is, and maybe they may give some of these countries a break and don't make them pay usury like they, you know, make us pay if they're actually using them as some type of you know, hideout country or something like that. I don't know. I just find it funny how we, you know, just like Jim was talking about earlier in China, how you know, it's totally different than what we perceive from the media and everything. All we hear about is the people that work.
Of course.
iPad.
He loves
know,
it over
iPod
there. Back. He sounds like he loves it. Yeah. Jim, you love it, right? You don't even want to come back?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Not at all. None of my friends do either. Everyone stay here.
Oh, how many guys did you go there with?
No, I'm just saying the friends I've met here, I've known people for the full time I've been here that
you went by
people
yourself,
have been here longer
though?
Than I have. Yeah.
Did you go by yourself?
I got my own place. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. I met a guy on Craigslist who was recruiting teachers, and he brought me over, and then I worked for his teaching company for about 6 years.
That's a bold move, dude. Good for you, man.
So
that's
is
awesome.
There, you know, like we have like Chinatowns over here. Is there like white towns over there? Like, do the white people all live in the same neighborhood and shit?
In a very small scale, but there's like a city around here that most of the overseas foreigners who've been sent by companies, you know, the ones who didn't choose to come to China, they
right.
have a kind of a community over there where they kind of all hang out with each other. But there's lots of Chinese people mixed in. You know, the Chinese folks are everywhere.
Sounds like
What you're saying about Cuba, if I may, I believe I know some friends here who say you can go to Cuba if you want to.
Well, I heard they're not supposed to. That's why they made that big deal about when Obama let Jay-Z go or whatever. They made a big stink about it because people aren't supposed to be allowed to travel there. They do push
right,
that people
if you,
can't travel there.
Yeah, if
well,
you
we
go
Canadians
the islands,
certainly are allowed.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm saying for Americans, if you go to the islands below Cuba and then you fly uh-huh. up there and then they'll put a piece of paper and they'll stamp it with the passport stamp, stick it in your passport. And then you go do whatever you want, and when you leave, they take the piece of paper out so that you were never there.
Oh, what cool. if they fuck you when you're there and you get stranded?
I don't know. People are pretty nice, I find, most places.
No, I know. Most places people are nice. Everybody gets a bad name, and we're the bunch of assholes usually.
I'll tell you what, man. I've been thinking about you know, eventually getting out of Dodge myself. And I've thought of a few places too, like Costa Rica. I know a couple people live in there. They said it's
shack
beautiful.
Up with Sloan.
Yeah, no, I may end up going to visit Sloan. I may come visit Jim in China. I mean, you know, this place
well,
is going to the dogs fast, man. And I don't know. As sad as it is, I'd like to
by design things. Too.
It is it, as much as I'd like to try to fix things. I see the writing on the wall, and think what better time than soon to get the hell out of here.
Yeah,
you know?
What better reason besides your country's collapsing around you and you lied to about absolutely everything and everybody's an idiot.
Right, exactly.
Sounds like some solid reasons. Hey, I tell it how it is. Whatever.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? I wouldn't mind living in a corrupt country as long as they didn't put on the facade. If you know, I wouldn't, you know, say I went to somewhere in South America or Central America or whatever, and they shut you down every now and then. At least you know where you stand.
You'd be better off dealing with a drug kingpin running the country than
these
greedy politicians.
I'm telling you right now, you'd be better off. That's what I'm saying.
If you're a solid dude, you'd be straight.
Right, like when the mob ran the country, regular people had nothing to worry about,
if you're a solid dude, you're straight.
So, I mean, that's the thing. Everybody, you know, talks about the black market and everything, but, you know, I'll tell you what, if I had kids, I wouldn't want to grow up in this artificial environment in America where everything is fake and every kids are handed iPods at 2 years old, iPhones at 2 years old, and
And you know, one of my friend's kids won't stop crying unless you give her the iPod, and she's 3 years old, dude. The iPad, the whole big iPad. It's got a cracked screen and everything from when she drops it. I'm like, what are you doing giving her this? Every time she cries, they just give it to her.
That's,
like,
that's
a pacifier.
The pacifier, man. That's it, yeah.
Yeah, it is. That's fucking ridiculous, dude.
And you know, as far as it goes, I mean, you know, you look at American kids these days, and you know, wait till another 20 years, 15 years even, you ain't going to see any white, you know, Americans playing professional sports because they're lazy. They sit, you know.
They'll just be in the video game championship.
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing. You're gonna see all Dominicans and Cubans and everything because, you know, if you're not building muscle mass by riding around your town on a bike or whatever, then, you know, you're sitting inside all day, not even getting under the sun, you know. You're not going to be, even if you try starting high school lifting weights, you ain't going to be able to compete, you know?
Have you guys seen Betsy McGee's thing on Carlos Arredondo?
Believe so. The whole video of him broken down as the fraud?
But one of the interesting things she points out is that he's now also become the poster boy for accepting illegal immigrants into the state.
I saw that. Yes, I did see that. Is he from where, El Salvador or Guatemala or one of them?
I'm not sure. I thought he was Mexican, but whatever. He's an illegal immigrant. And so they're saying, you know, okay, well, maybe we should be more tolerant because look at this illegal immigrant is a hero.
Right, right. Yeah, he right. For those that don't know, he's the Willie Rodriguez of the Boston bombing, the guy that supposedly jumped in and saved Jeff Bauman by putting tourniquets on that didn't.
That's the cowboy hat guy, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And he supposedly, well, I guess this part is, you know, I don't
so
know
it,
about
it
the
just,
rest of it. Oh, continue.
Well, just it's interesting that you know, one of the main purposes of the Boston bombing seems to be the martial law drill, right? Shutting down Watertown and all of that.
That was huge in Watertown.
But as the New World Order does everything multifaceted and multi-leveled, there's your other level is the using Carlos as the darling, you know, front man now for accepting the immigrants, illegal immigrants. So, which, you know, as I'm sure you know, is
ridiculous. Yeah, so
part of the plan to destroy the country.
I subscribed to all those channels you gave me. I didn't get to watch their videos yet because I was getting ready for the show, but I'm going to watch them all tomorrow. But I added every single one of them.
Yeah, that one, I think I sent you one separately that, to me,
yeah,
if there's one little video that totally destroys the Boston bombing.
You sent me one video on the rest of the channels. So it must be that
one. Well,
video
I think
sent.
The one I sent you, I think I sent it in another email. I'll check. If I didn't, I'll send it. But it shows the, I was telling you, somebody created a 3D model of Jeff Bowman in position there, you know, with his legs up in the air. And, you know, it's like a transparent 3D model, and they superimpose it over Jeff Bauman's body, showing, totally conclusively that his right leg that we see in the picture is not attached to his body. It's not anatomically possible that the tops of his thighs are like 10 or 12 inches apart. They don't actually meet. In other words, you know what I'm saying? Like his groin, the thighs as we see them don't meet like they should. So it's obviously a prosthetic because it's like, you know, 10 inches off where it should be. You got to see it. It's like as soon as you see it, you go, holy shit! You know, it's. There's no way that isn't fake, that you know, the picture isn't fake. That's not his real stump you're looking at. Let me just
check
my...
These guys always thought it was fake even quicker than I. I took a little bit to come around. They said maybe because, you know, it's closer to me and, you know, I know people from my town, which may be true, but it does look like total bullshit to me now.
Yeah, I sent it. I sent it to you in another...
Yeah, I got it. I know which one. You sent me one video.
I'll put it in the... I'll put it in the chat. It's a short video. Anybody can check it out now if they want. So there it is.
All right, thank you.
And I mean, I don't know, you know, if you showed that to a newbie, I no matter how brainwashed they are, I know they will, but it's really hard to imagine anybody not getting it if they see this little one little clip.
James, you still with us, bud? No, maybe not. You must have stepped off. Justin, you there?
Well, somebody, let's see, Harry Balls was having trouble getting...
No, he said he's fine. He said he can hear it. He said he's fine. Justin, you
right.
there?
Joey Z says, thanks, I've tried every stream, all dead. Oh, I only have Safari now, Mac user. Anyway, so James may be having trouble, too.
Yeah, but he's on the Skype call. He shouldn't be having trouble. He must have just stepped away for a minute. I don't guys, we'll take a quick break. This will be our last break, and we'll come back and wrap it up with our last segment, and hopefully we can figure out what's up with the phones during this quick 3 minutes. So just stick with us. You're listening to the Dose of Reality Radio with Brian Stavely, Justin Cook, and James Sloan. Okay, everybody. It looks like we got the guys back. At least Justin's back. I don't know about James. James, are you back, buddy?
You want to talk about Boston?
What about it?
The city?
About the marathon?
Well, people who've never been there and only see it in the movies. You know, like, is it anything like...
I'll talk about
movies?
Boston. Well, what kind of impressions do you get from the movies about it?
Well, like, the only movie I can think of offhand is Good Will Hunting, right? That's...
Yeah, I don't really remember it too much. Boston's like, I don't know. I mean, it's much, much, much smaller than, like, New York. The streets are all fucking all over the place. There's no, like, pattern to it at all. Like, because the city's so old, you know what I mean? It kind of formed from trails and everything or whatnot. And then they just had to make the roads. Like, they didn't start off with, like, First Street, Second Street, like a big city like New York or maybe L.A. or something. Like, you can find your way around by the number of the streets. It's not like that at all.
Boston's older than New York, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's why it doesn't have, like, a street pattern laid out, because they didn't plan the city like they could plan New York ahead of time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Boston. I mean, I was just there, like, very, I don't know, between planes or something, and walked around a bit, and I got a really great vibe out of it. It was sort of like the heart of America in a way or something.
People in Boston really like other people from Boston a lot, and they're not... They get that impression, like, oh, if, like, you know, Yankees fans come, we give them shit or nothing. We don't, like, start fights with them or nothing like that. We respect people from other things. You know, it's just like it's a friendly thing. It's like a camaraderie, you know? Boston fans, they're real passionate about their sport. Obviously, I mean, that's one big thing. You know, I don't really pay attention like I used to with all this shit going on, but I used to be, you know, huge into it and with all the success of the teams. But even before then, they were really huge with about the Red Sox, really, really huge. And now the Patriots are probably even bigger, you know. Boston is – it's got a lot of little cities around it, like Braintree and, like, Watertown. And sometimes people consider that part of the city, but it's not. It's all different little communities around it. For a big city, it's like, I mean, it's not huge. It's like maybe, it's just under a million people, I think, like 900,000 people. So,
huh.
Oh, somebody's calling in. Hold on. It's Justin. Justin?
Yes.
Hey, what's up? You're on Dose of Reality Radio with yourself, Brian Stavely.
Are we still on the air?
Yeah, we're still on the air. We're just shooting the shit. He wanted to know what Boston was like, so I was kind of just telling him.
Comedians like Joe Rogan or Bill Burr make fun of Boston?
I can't stand Rogan. We were talking about that.
That's why I'm saying, like, the people who've never been there, like myself, that it's only what you see on television. And
Don't even associate Joe Rogan with us. That's fucking not cool, dude. Joe Rogan is not
I'm asking, because, like, you're friends.
I like Bill Burr, personally.
No, Boston's like a nice little city. It's like a lot of people know each other because it's such a small city for a big city. There's only like I said, there's just under a million people. It's not like 5 million, 10 million. The area is kind of small. There's a lot of little communities around it that are like their own little cities, but they're all like suburbs of Boston. I live in Lowell. We're the fourth biggest city in the state, but we're not a suburb of Boston. We're like 25 miles away, and we have little suburbs around us, like little towns of our own. But over near there, it's real busy. There's a lot of people in all those little cities.
In my experiences in Boston, I definitely had positive experiences there. I always liked it.
I like it a lot, man.
Hey, Brian, how come you don't have the thick accent? You know, like, I got a pack to cat.
Really? People said my accent was real bad. When I went to broadcasting school, they said I had the worst accent they heard in 25 years. Some people comment on a lot. I'm surprised you don't really pick it out.
I think his has gotten better as he's done radio, too, you know.
Yeah, I try not to be so bad with it, you know. But they kind of trained me to do that because, you know, if you try to do national radio or something, you know, they don't want you to have that accent. So I was trying to work on losing it when I talk, so I kind of let it flow out a little more when I'm not on the radio. I talk a little different. I got a truck driver mouth, too.
In my experience, I met a few people. I worked with a few people from Boston, and they were very, very cool. I had nothing bad to say about them, and I always felt bad for them because everybody, when they first met that person, they would come up and immediately do like a really shitty Boston accent back to them, like, "Oh, you're from Boston," and they start doing this crappy sounding accent. It's like all day long they would get that from people, and I always thought it was strange because they were cool as hell.
Boston people tend to be really educated as a whole. Like, it's one of the more educated areas, you know. Like, people are
I'll tell you
smart,
what, though. They give as good as they get when it comes to that, because I got my balls broken up there for having an accent.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. We make fun of Southerners all the time with their accent.
But I mean, with me, I don't have an accent.
I know.
They're all breaking my balls because I'm not... That was actually New Bedford, Mass. But
more in good fun. You know what I mean? People know how to make jokes with each other. Like, Boston people have thick skin with that shit. They really do. Like, you should hear what I call people's mothers.
Yeah, you bring it a little too far sometimes, I think.
if you guys ever took a vacation to China, your accents would be an asset over here. It would
I'll make it 10 times worse, too. I'll be like, "Yeah, pack the can, have it yet."
let me ask you, Jim. Now, you go for teaching. What exactly are you teaching, or what, you know, what other opportunities are there for something like that?
I teach ESL.
I don't know if you want to get to
English. Yeah, English is a second language. Right, so I'm an English teacher, and the schools hire me to teach classes, and you can do anything you want from kindergarten all the way up to adults. Adults are a little flakier, so it's harder to get them to make all their classes. Children, you know, that they're in school and they have to go to school, so there's, you know, it's more steady money, but it's also kind of taxing, you know. If you're cool with kids, then you'll be fine. But if you do it all the time, it gets a little annoying. You can change around too as you go. I change jobs every 6 months or to a year or so, to whether I'm happy or not at a place.
Now,
there's just so many places to work for.
How much Chinese did you have to learn before you were able to teach a class?
I don't teach in Chinese. It's all in English.
Oh, I see. So they already know rudimentary English type thing, and then you're.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if they're kindergartners, then you're teaching them the first English words they'll learn, and you know, it's kind of fun to see them progress over time to where they can say something. But they there's really not a lot of reward in it. The whole teaching thing, they don't really learn much because they're not immersed. They don't have people that speak English around them, so they only get it for a couple hours a day, and they don't really learn. You know, most of the time they just speak Chinese to each other in class.
They learn that high-by type thing and, you know, stuff like that.
Right. So when they become an adult, they can, when they reach adulthood, they can't speak Chinese, or I'm sorry, they can't speak English at all, but they can read it because they read it in school from when they're like five. They start reading everything out of a book. So if you ask them to read it out loud, it would be phonetic and you wouldn't understand what they were saying, but they have learned how to read it anyway and translated it. Like, they can understand it on paper, but they just can't talk. It's very strange.
So are you teaching mainly English, or is there more to the curriculum?
I just teach English. There's all kinds of different teaching jobs you can get. You can do teaching I know a lot of Russian people around here that do modeling and stuff on the weekends. They get paid pretty good for it. Some people do commercials, but there's not a ton of that work anymore. It used to be a lot back in the day, but now it's lesser. I've had weird jobs.
I wonder, because, as we all know, people seem to be getting dumber and dumber here in the West.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any parallel there? Are they getting smarter? Is it pretty much the same?
I think they're getting better at conforming to the Western system. I don't really think they're getting smarter. They're copying the American model. So
in the rural areas too, is that the same way, or are they more backwards, kind of like our rural areas?
Yeah, when you get out into the country, it's the country. It's rural China. There's tons of people out there. I'm speaking about the people in the cities. Because there's a middle class about the size of the population of the United States, and then there's all the another billion farmers. Supposedly.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say the farmers are way cooler. They're easier to talk to. They're way more gracious and kind to you. The people in the cities are rich now, and it used to be kind of cool to have a foreigner around, and now it's become less of a, like the shine is off the apple a little bit. But they need us here because there's no way that they can learn English without us. So it's something that they want. So everybody treats you nice because you're over here helping them learn English.
It may be a little late to introduce a new subject, but briefly.
We're just shooting the shit. If people want to listen, that's good.
Well, something I've been thinking about lately, just sort of pondering, is the fact that, when computers came out, I got into it pretty early, around the Apple II in the early 80s, and by the sort of mid 80s or so, I did a few things on the computer that I kind of had this revelation that, hey, this is a brain amplifier, because I was able to do things that I wouldn't never have been able to do without a computer. And so, now we've got these really powerful computers. We've got the internet. We've got so much knowledge and
algorithms that can basically almost predict things happening.
Ability.
So
we have so much stuff at our fingertips. How come we're getting dumber when we should be getting smarter?
That's exactly
by design.
Why we're getting
they don't
dumber
want
because
us to. They don't. That's just like how they hold back the Tesla technologies and shit. They don't want us to get smarter. They want us to dumb us down.
Well, I think it's definitely that, and it's definitely because if you think about it, you look at kids nowadays when they go to school, right? Right away they're integrated into a computer. They didn't have to learn the regular way that we all learned, and then later on you learn a computer. Now it's computers from day one, so they never had to do math out, and stuff like that. They have a calculator from day one. I think that's the thing, and I think it's part and parcel of not just Common Core, but just the whole education system here, where it's, creating a bunch of robots, and they won't be able to survive without their computers is pretty much the plan.
But it goes back farther, because I remember in the mid-80s, I was like an AV, audiovisual roadie, doing corporate shows. And I remember doing the show for Canadian Tire. They're like a big chain here in Canada. They do car stuff. And anyway, so I'm backstage running this meeting and handling the slides for all these presenters, and all the presenters were store managers, and they're fairly young, I would say, you know, 30-ish on average. But what struck me was they were all like stumbling over simple words in their speeches, and not because they were nervous in front of the crowd or anything. It was just like they didn't know what they were reading. It was sort of my first experience of seeing people dumbed down, being dumb. You know, somehow they were these people, and these people all had like college educations, almost all of them were having trouble. I'm backstage following their script and changing slides, and I'm going, you know, and they're going, I'm stuttering, and I'm going, come on, like, you know, it was unbelievable. So it's been going on for a long time, and now, you know, when you go on you look at comments or you go on a forum, I mean, I'm not a grammar Nazi or anything, but the spelling is atrocious. People don't know the difference between there, and there, and, nope. You know, through and through, and you know, all these words. Granted, the English language is crazy, but I don't know, you know, didn't people learn this shit in school?
Yeah, you would think so. By eighth grade, at least, you would have known the proper uses of, you know, those words and things. But I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that people don't read anymore, you know, because if Wikipedia is right there with the answer, you don't have to read a whole book. You know what I mean? So you're not being exposed to the big words and things like that where you had to go look them up years ago. And you know, I think it's...
People don't even read directions. They go to YouTube.
That's it. I mean, it's everything is right there at the tip of your fingers.
They even talk into
another sort of semi-related thing that's made me go lately is how many words in the English language have double or triple meanings. It's astounding. Yeah. Like probably I would say the majority.
Yeah.
And when you start thinking about it,
from region to region, it gets worse too. You know, you may go to a region where another word means another thing. For example, pop, you know, means soda, means just to pop to punch somebody, or means, you know, the regular version
sound
of pop.
Sound from a gun.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's, but that's why I think it's so hard to learn English for that reason, I think, you know.
Yeah, well, Jim, you must have a hell of a time with that stuff. Does that affect your teaching?
Not really, because they're just learning it for the first time, and they all suck at the same things, so it's easy to figure out what to concentrate on. No, but I do notice that the English language is pretty much coded for confusion. And that's why people, when they first meet each other, they have a hard time getting along with each other, because you're learning how the other person is using the English language, which can be used in different ways. You can make your own style when you talk. So it's a thing that happens more in English than I think it does in other languages. I think it was the English that we speak was invented in, like, I think the 1500s, I believe, by what's his name, Sir Francis Bacon.
You're right.
So it's the newest language, and I think the Club of Rome or something like that said it's the international language of business. So it's kind of foisted on the rest of the world that they also have to learn this really confusing way of communicating, you know, with tenses, right? Like present tense, past tense, future tense. You know, like in other countries that don't have those tenses, a future tense, people have less addictions, they're more able to meet their goals, because they, instead of thinking one day I will do something, they think I do something, you know, in the way that they speak and the way they think in their head. So they're more in the present with it, and they're actually working on it rather than seeing it as something that exists in the future.
I like that. Probably have conversations quicker too, like that.